නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ඒකායනෝ අයං භික්කවේ මග්ගෝ සත්තානං විසුද්ධියා ශෝක පරිද්දවානං සමතික්කමාය දුක්ඛ දෝමනස්සානං අත්ථගමාය ඥායස්ස අධිගමාය නිබ්බානස්ස සච්චිකිරියාය යදිදං චත්තාරෝ සතිපට්ඨානාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we are discussing Satipatthana Sutta as the main topic on this Sutta teaching session nowadays. And Satipatthana Sutta is very popular one because it is one of the key suttas which explains Vipassana meditation, particularly the mindfulness and then the later refinement and improvement of mindfulness, the mindfulness meditation, and again the briefly about the complete path. Now, therefore, we can see actually there are three sections or three levels we can recognize in the Satipatthana Sutta. The first of establishment of mindfulness that we call as Satipatthana, and then the development of the establishment of mindfulness. Once you have properly established your mind onto particular phenomena, now you are basically observing that phenomena. So that is there. And kind of a close examination, close investigation is there. Now, as a result, there are certain insights are arising, and we need to maintain those insights, we need to improve those insights, and we have to behave fairly according to those insights. So likewise, there is a path to be developed, path to be practiced. So that is in mentioned as insights and the path. That is Satipatthana Bhavanagaminincha Patipada. So these three sections actually very precisely mentioned in the Satipatthana Vibhanga Sutta. And in the Satipatthana Sutta, actually each kamatahan, each meditation method is embedded in a way to explain these three stages, we can say. Now we have discussed about Kayanupassana, then we have discussed Vedanupassana, Chittanupassana, and now we are dealing in the Dhammanupassana section. Now, in the Kayanupassana section, actually, Buddha takes the body as the main meditation object, main focus of attention, and various bodily processes and various bodily phenomena are used to enhance our mindfulness and the wisdom. Similarly, in the Vedanupassana section, various feelings happening in the body and in the mind are being used to develop mindfulness and wisdom. In the Cittanupassana section, various mental states, thoughts are being used to develop mindfulness and wisdom. Now, each of these sections, that is to say Kayanupassana, Vedanupassana, Cittanupassana, are quite capable meditation techniques, various tools which actually have the capacity, the potential to make one's mind completely liberated or completely free from attachments, grasping. It could be temporary, but still one can clearly recognize that one's mind has at least temporarily completely liberated, completely become free from all the graspings. Now, assume that one couldn't experience such kind of freedom, some such that kind of a non-grasping nature in the mind from Kayanupassana, Vedanupassana, Chittanupassana. But when one leads towards the Dhammanupassana has fairly organized in a way to give more deeper understanding about mindfulness and wisdom in a more methodical manner, more strategic as well as some orderly manner. So that is how basically the Dhammanupassana section is properly designed. So Buddha starts with Nivarana, those are the hindrances. So typically everyone's mind time to time occupy with these hindrances. So Buddha asks us to see them as they truly are, without being sort of victim to them, without being driven by the hindrances. So now we have to find out a method how to step back and look at them. Now this is quite important, because typically what happens is when there is lust, we immediately become a victim of it, and then we start to act according to it, and we are basically even completely occupy our mind with the lustful thoughts, and then ultimately we act according to it. Similarly, if there is anger arising in the mind, we couldn't recognize it, we immediately become a victim of it, and ultimately we start to blame and get into troubles, get into arguments, etc. So this is how we are unknowingly get into the influence of hindrances. But here, when the mindfulness has fairly improved, one has the capacity to step back and watch various hindrances as they truly are. Now you are not the hindrance, your hindrance is not yours, and hindrance is not yourself, but hindrance is a hindrance, it's a temporary state of a mind. So the yogi starts to recognize like this, so therefore the yogi has a capacity to observe them objectively. And this is very important. So throughout the Satipatthana session, so one is now capable of recognizing various hindrances available or happening in the mind time to time, and without being a victim to them, without driven by them, now one has the capacity to watch it, look at them objectively. Now then one's mind is fairly cleansed, purified, and if one is capable of understanding how these hindrances are arising and what are the causes, and again when they are available in the mind, what are the causes to remove them, to allow them to fade away, and when one's mind is free from hindrances, how to maintain such a freedom, how to maintain such a peaceful mind free from hindrances, are some areas that we can look into. So the whole thing actually gives us some sort of idea about cause and effect. So all these hindrances are arising due to various causes, and once those causes are not being fertilized, not being supported, the resultant hindrances are also going to be fade away. Now, so therefore we can say the hindrances are being used to develop mindfulness as well as wisdom. Now when it comes to the Kandapabba, the next section, so that is further elaborated in a more, we can say, fairly advanced manner. So khandas, aggregates, are one of the very important teaching of the Buddha. It seems to be some sort of a traditional approach also was there during the India, old India, where people have some idea about aggregates. Probably Buddha has given a new interpretation to it so that one can understand one's own subjective experience. So basically when we are experiencing various things, say you have healthy eyes, you can see something, and accordingly your mind become attached to it, you are appreciating, you are being delighted with what you have seen. So likewise we all have various experiences. So these experiences are fairly colored by our inherent qualities, or our sort of latent defilements, we can say, latent tendencies. So therefore, even though we have various senses, when we are using them and sort of getting the information, data from the outside, so we are not experiencing them as they are, rather we are adding onto them, we are coloring them, we are constructing them, we are fabricating them according to our likes and dislikes. So therefore what we have is a sort of a subjective experience. It is not an objective experience, rather a subjective experience. Now Buddha helps us to look at this subjective experience properly using these five aggregates. Now whenever we are going through a experience, so therefore we can divide it to these five aggregates, five components. As a result, one can have a better idea about what is really going on. rather than becoming a victim of the whole experience, rather than driven by the experience. So again, one has the capacity to analyze it, watch it, step back and study it in a more appropriate manner, more wise manner. So this kind of a methodology is explained in these five aggregates. So Buddha introduces five kind of aggregates. So one related to the, we can say, to the materiality, and another four related to the mentality. So the materiality, so all the material aspects of one's body and the whole outside world is considered in the rupakkhanda, the form aggregate. And again in the whatever the feelings that one may be experiencing is discussed in the feeling aggregate. And whatever the perceptions ones have, various perceptions, various signs, marks from our childhood to the death, we are gathering, we are experiencing, all are included to the third aggregate, that is the perception or the sanya. And then various fabrications, various constructions, various mental states available in the mind, happening in the mind, are discussed in the sankhara khanda, that is the formations aggregate. And all the knowings, all the, say, recognitions of various sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations, various mental states, so that cognition part is discussed under the vijnana khanda or the consciousness aggregate. Now one has to have some idea about these aggregates. Without it, you can't meditate on them. So therefore, in this khanda pabba, Buddha comes up with this three sections where Buddha mentions punacha param bhikkave bhikkhu dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati panchasu padana khandesu. So the monk in this sasana is now looking at five clinging aggregates as clinging aggregates. Katancha bhikkave bhikkhu dhammesu dhammanupassi viharati panchasu padana khandesu. So how he is going to properly look at these five clinging aggregates? Ida bhikkave bhikkhu iti rupang iti rupassa samudayo iti rupassa attagamu. Iti vedanaya samudayo iti vedanaya attagamu. Iti sanyaya samudayo iti sanyaya attagamu. Iti sankharanang samudayo iti sankharanang attagamu. Iti vinyanang iti vinyanasa samudayo iti vinyanasa attagamu. So now Buddha defines the five aggregates and he explains us how to meditate on them. So he starts with iti rupa, iti vedana, iti sanya, iti sankhara, iti vinyana. So likewise here, the sort of the definition. So first of all, we need to recognize what they are, what these terms means, and how to recognize the operation of the activity of these aggregates. So that means fair understanding about the aggregates are necessary. So now I am going to use another sutta to explain you a little about these aggregates. So that's a very beautiful sutta called Kacchaniya Sutta, available in the Khanda Sangyukta, where Buddha talks about having these aggregates is some sort of a burden, some sort of agitation. And anyway, he is explaining in this sutta what are each aggregate is meant. Now he asks, why bhikkhus do you call it form? So the rupakkhanda, he is now explaining, why does it call form? So in the Pali it is called rupa, ruppana. The term rupa or ruppana has the meaning as deformed, and it can be deformed, it can be subjected to any kind of a deformation, kind of a change. So from what it is going to be deformed? When it is cold, it is deformed. When it is heat, because of heat, it can be deformed. Because of hunger, it get deformed. Because of thirst, it get deformed. Deformed by contact with flies, mosquitoes, wind, sun, serpents. So all are these external factors And because of these external factors, this so-called form is subjected to any kind of a deformation, any kind of a, say, suffering, we can say, any kind of a disturbance. So it doesn't have the capacity to say, be free from all these difficulties. Rather, all these external conditions are time to time having an impact on the form, and as a result the form get deformed, form get agitated, form get sort of say subjected to some sort of what to say, some sort of agitation, deformation, kind of an impact. So this you can understand. So this is why it is called form. Now you can see our body, time to time we go through various difficulties. Nowadays we have the corona pandemic. So as a result, if we get it, if we are under the influence of it, then we suffer. The body get the influenza, or sorry, we body get the fever, body get the cough and phlegm, and all these actually various diseases have the capacity to deform the body, have an impact on the body, to make it diseased, make it ill. And similarly, if you are in a, say, going through a winter, so during the winter season, so if there is a huge snowfall, so your body going to be subjected to that. So in order to prevent that, you are wearing, say, winter clothes and all these, and you are getting the heaters. So because otherwise you can't maintain the body, this body is so vulnerable. And again, once the body feels hungry, so you have to feed it. When it feels thirsty, you have to drink something. So likewise, the body has to be maintained, because again and again it is being deformed and subjected to various difficulties because of these external conditions. Now, when it comes to feeling, why does it call feeling aggregate? So there Buddha gives a very simple explanation here. It feels, because therefore it is called feeling. Now, the feeling aggregate is the one responsible for feeling everything. So whenever we are going through some sort of an experience, it could be kind of a pleasurable experience, a happy experience, or else it could be some sort of an unhappy experience, sort of a painful experience. On the other hand, it could be neither painful nor happy experience, no pleasurable experience. So likewise, you can see all the experiences have this feeling tone, either happy, unhappy, or equanimous. Or that is pleasurable, painful, or neither painful nor pleasurable. So these are the aggregate explaining about this feeling aspect of the whole experience. And then why does it call perception? Now we are coming to the sanya aggregate, perception aggregate. And there it perceives, it can recognize during using various previous marks, signs, it can recognize, it can perceive. So that is why it is called perception aggregate. Now here, very small example given, so it's quite easy to understand. Now you know, during the classroom, so as kids, so we are being introduced to various colors. So our teacher comes up with various colors, so our mother, father show us various colors and introduce the colors. So this is red color, this is blue color, this is white color, this is black color. So likewise, they are teaching to us. So maybe in the kindergarten, so we are being taught that to recognize various colors. So later, whenever we see some sort of a color, immediately we can recognize it. Okay, this is red color. Okay, this is blue color. So this is a simple example. So similarly, there are many, many different kinds of perceptions, and they are being introduced to us. So we are sort of storing some marks about them, and later when we are going through some sort of an experience, we can use those previous experience, previous knowledge, As a result, one can recognize it, one can perceive it. And then Buddha asks, what are the volitional formations? Now, volitional formations, that sankhara aggregate is the one basically responsible of constructing, fabricating. As I mentioned, whenever we are going through some sort of an experience, so we can't have it in raw level or the most unbiased level. Rather, we do some sort of a fabrication. We do some sort of a coloring because of this aggregates. So the main aggregate responsible for that is the sankhara aggregate, sankhara khanda, formations aggregate. Now, whenever we see a form, say some sort of a form is there in front of us, and as a result, some sort of an image, actually an inverted image being reflected in our retina. But now we construct it. The brain actually do the proper adjustments. It do the various constructions. It add various levels, sorry, labels, various names. And we are adding to sort of interpretations to those labels. And again, we add the feeling tone, whether we like it or do not like it, so likewise. So we do a lot of constructions here when we see a form. Similarly, when we hear a sound, we do this construction. And whenever, even when we are going through some sort of a feeling, so we do the construction onto the feeling. So if it is some pleasurable feeling, so as we recognize the pleasurable feeling, we don't keep it as it is. We like to grasp it, we want to hold it, we want to own it, possess it, and as a result, we are adding more to it. We are constructing it, we are fabricating it. Similarly, when there is a perception, assume that there is a little mental image appears in your mind. Now you don't simply recognize it as a mental image, rather you add a label to it. You have likes and dislikes to it and you give a name to it. And you are now imposing certain personal experience to it. As a result, it becomes a kind of a strong something. It was a simple image, we can say a mental image at the very beginning. But now, so we have constructed so much of additions to it. We have fabricated it. So ultimately it become a complete fantasy even. So we are now in a big story. We have weaved a story just because of just starting from this small mental image. So likewise you can say even when we start the perception, so we don't keep it as it is. We do a lot of constructions onto it. We fabricate it. Similarly, when there is a thought, suppose you get a loving kindness thought in the mind. So once you recognize it, you don't just keep it there. You are further enhancing it. You are spreading it. So likewise, you can do a lot of constructions, enhancements. Now, it is common to all the wholesome states, unwholesome states. So all these formations are being further formed, are being further constructed, further fabricated in the mind. Now, whenever we do some sort of a cognition, say you are cognizing a sight, you are cognizing a sound, you are cognizing a smell. So likewise, whenever using the faculties, when we do some sort of a cognition, we don't just stop there, we do the fabrication, we do the construction. So this is the operation of the sankhara aggregate. And the consciousness aggregate, there Buddha mentions, so why it is called consciousness aggregate? Because it cognizes. And here Buddha gives another simile, another example actually. So what does it cognize? So he gives it with respect to the tastes in this sutta. So there he mentions when it is bitter, it cognizes it as bitter. When it is sour, it recognizes it as sour. And when it is sweet, it recognizes it as sweet. When it is sharp, it recognizes it is sharp. When it is mild, it recognizes as mild. When it is salty, it recognizes as salty. So likewise, various tastes are very clearly recognized, very clearly cognized by this consciousness aggregate. Now, this is in a way kind of a simple explanation where Buddha gives about various aggregates, and some other places further these are explained. Say, for example, in the perceptions. So there Buddha talks about, say, perceptions related to the sights, perceptions related to the sounds, perceptions related to the smells, perceptions related to the tastes, perceptions related to the tactile sensations, and perceptions related to the various mental phenomena. So you can see it's a kind of a wide range. It is not just a very limited area, but it's a vast area being included or discussed under five aggregates. And again, it is not only the present aggregates, it is included even the aggregates which has already completed or already passed, what you call the past aggregates, atita anagata pachuppanna. So you have the past already completed, already finished aspects, completed finished aggregates, and again the aggregates going to be developed in the future, born in the future, and aggregates already present, currently happening. Similarly, the aggregates available closer to you and far from you, aggregates within yourself and aggregates from outside, internal and external. And aggregates may be, those are some refined, and some aggregates, those are more gross, hina panita. So likewise, it has included so many aspects into it, so we can say the whole experience, it is not just a simple single experience, but the whole experience of the human beings, all experience of the whoever the living beings, can be explained using the five aggregates. So it's a matter of recognizing or understanding these five aggregates properly. So that is the most important thing, and we should be able to analyze whenever we are going through an experience according to these five aggregates. Say, for example, now we are listening to Dhamma sermon. So I am preaching, you all are listening. So this is an experience. So we can analyze this experience according to five aggregates. Now, if we consider your side, say you all are listening and you have the intention to listen to this Dhamma sermon, listen to this Sutta teaching. So that is the intention. That is the actually the Sankhara aggregate, formations aggregate in this experience. So you basically was motivated by that intention. I want to participate to this session. I want to listen to this Sutta teaching. So that is the intention. So that is the formations aggregate. And then now you are listening, so you can cognize the sound. So this is the very primitive level of cognition, and that is the, we can say, the sota vijnana or the ear consciousness. So that is actually related to the consciousness aggregate, vijnana khanda. And as you hear various sounds, now you give various interpretations to them. You recognize them as various words, English words, and you have the proper meaning to them. So those are actually the perceptions aggregate. So we know English language from our childhood, and as a result, now you, whenever I am uttering a word, so you can properly recognize what I meant. So that is because of the already stored information, already stored perceptions, marks, signs, according to the sounds, already learned sounds. Now that is the perception aggregate. And the sounds itself and your ear and all these physical instruments, that actually belongs to the form aggregate. And now assume that you are having some sort of a equanimous feeling, because now I am just explaining some dry information, we can say. So not much of interesting in a way.
not makes you much happy, but rather some data, some theory. So it may be kind of an equanimity that you may be feeling. So that is actually the equanimous, that is actually the feeling aggregate. So likewise, now you are this listening to Dhamma, that is the experience, can be properly analyzed by putting properly to each and every aggregate. Now each and every experience therefore have these five aggregates. And once we do that sort of an analysis, there you can recognize there is no I here. There is no person here. There is no individual here. But rather it's a combination of various aggregates. They are operating together and makes us kind of an experience. And we are experiencing it. We are going through it. But there is no person who is going through it. So these are some deep teachings of the Buddha, profound teaching of the Buddha. So more you do this sort of an analysis, rather than simply driven by the experience, rather than being a victim to the experience, if you are able to establish mindfulness and recognize very clearly, okay, what are the different aggregates, what are the form aggregate in this experience, what is the feeling aggregate in this experience, what is the perception aggregate in this experience, what are the formations aggregate in this experience, and what is the consciousness aggregate in this experience. So you are analyzing the experience, you are understanding the experience properly, you are no more a victim of the experience. Now you can recognize this subjective experience in a more precise manner, and now it becomes very clear understanding. So this whole experience, so what is the form component? What is the feeling component? What is the perception component? What is the formations component? And what is the consciousness component? So as you recognize like that, then you have a better understanding. And onto that, Buddha says, now you have to establish mindfulness. So once you recognize, okay, this is the form component, form aggregate, now you are paying more attention to it. So the area that you give more prominence to, form aggregate, is the Kayanupassana. Suppose you are doing walking, so the walking experience. So if you analyze the walking experience, so you had an intention to go to the walking path. You had an intention to walk. So that intention is the formations aggregate, Sankharakkhanda. It is included there. And again, while you are walking, so you feel, say, to your toes, to your foot, you feel some sort of an equanimous feeling. So that comes under the feeling aggregate. And say you are in a sand path. Now you are walking there. Now you feel hardness, you feel stiffness, you feel roughness. So all these are the qualities of the forms aggregate. That is the forms aggregate, that is the Rupakkhanda. And again, you have a sort of a perception, okay, you are recognizing, okay, this is this sort of a, say, this is Patavidhatu, this is Apodhatu. So likewise, you are mapping even certain names to it, but that is not encouraged, by the way. And you are sometimes recognizing, okay, now I am in the middle of the walking path, now I am at the end of the walking path. So likewise, you have certain sort of marks, signs, happening into this experience. Now that all comes under the perceptions aggregate. Now you can see, even this walking experience can be divided or analyzed according to the five aggregates. So among these five aggregates, while you are practicing Kayanupassana, we give the prominence to the form aggregate, the body. Hardness, softness, heaviness, lightness, say gross feeling, sorry, grossness and softness. So these are the, we can say the earth element actually. And then we feel sort of heavy. So how weight being transferred, and whether you feel heat or cold, whether you feel vibrations, whether you feel movements. So all these are the components or the aspects of the form aggregate. So more we engage in the kaya anupassana, we are dealing with the form aggregate. And whenever we are shifting towards various feelings, now you are experiencing sort of an equanimous feeling. So that feeling is being recognized, that feeling being properly observed, investigated. So now we are dealing in the Vedana Anupassana, and that is giving prominence to the feeling aggregate. Assume that you do sitting meditation and there are various feelings arising, and you are carefully observing them. You are keeping your attention to each and every feeling, whether it is a happy feeling, pleasurable feeling, or it may be a painful feeling, it could be a equanimous feeling. So you are observing them very carefully. So there you give the prominence to the feeling aggregate. And similarly, assume now you do Chittanupassana. You are observing your mind. If there is lustful thought, so you observe it. If there is angry thought, you recognize it. So now actually you recognize various formations, we can say. And sometimes we recognize even perceptions. Sometimes even we recognize the very early stages of how I see something. So likewise, the Chitta Anupassana actually can deal with the three aggregates. Those are the perceptions, formations, and the consciousness. And Dhamma Anupassana also deals with all five aggregates. Now you can see in the Satipatthana practice, so we are closely dealing with these five aggregates. And again, Buddha gives us very beautiful similes into the five aggregates, because using those similes, he gives a very very interesting and very eye-opening kind of similes, so that we can reflect onto each aggregate. Actually, why we are learning these aggregates is to properly understand them, is to properly introduce some sort of freedom from them, not rather attaching to them, not to cling to them, rather to be free from them. So therefore, Buddha gives us very strong similes onto each and every aggregate. So he gives an example of a form, FOAM. It is not FORM, but FOAM, that is a form being generated in the bank of a river. He talks about Ganges. So where, while the waves being hitting the bank, again and again, a lump of form being generated. So if someone look at from very far, probably he might get misled, thinking it is some white color stones. But once he come closer and look at it very carefully, he will understand it's a lump of form. It is empty. There is no core in it. There is no anything substantial there. So therefore Buddha mentions, so this form, FORM, this form aggregate is very much like that lump of form. It is empty. It is hollow. It is void. It is insubstantial. So there is no core there. There is nothing substantial there. So if one is properly recognizing the form aggregate, the Rupa Khanda, more and more, again and again, he do Kaya Anupassana, and more he is investigating this form aggregate. So ultimately his mind has to come to this level of understanding. He will understand, okay, this is just the form aggregate. It is not me, it is not mine, and it is hollow. There is no much of an interest there. It is insubstantial, and it is void of a person. So due to various causes and conditions, they are arising, and again, they are very vulnerable. It is subjected to various, deformations. It's very vulnerable, and you have no control at all. And similarly, it is hollow, it is void, and it's insubstantial. So now this sort of an understanding is based on the experience, based on the proper investigation, proper kayanupassana, and it actually develops some sort of a nibbida, detachment, disenchantment towards the form aggregate. Now similarly, Buddha gives a very beautiful simile onto the feeling aggregate. So he talks that suppose there is during the autumn season, now there is a raining happens. Assume now a raindrop hits the surface of a water. As a result, a water bubble arises and then it immediately bursts. Water bubble arises and it immediately bursts. Now assume that there is another water bubble, another raindrop. It arises and it immediately bursts. Another raindrop hits the water surface. A water bubble generates and immediately bursts. Assume now the whole rain, heavy rain happens onto the surface of a reservoir, we say, water surface. So again and again, water bubbles being generated, and again they burst. So this is a very rapid action happens, and they are the water bubbles. Water bubbles are very transient. They immediately arise and pass away. They immediately arise and burst. So Buddha says, so in this water bubbles, there is no core. It is empty. It is void. There is nothing substantial in it. It is so transient. Therefore, Buddha says, this feeling aggregate is similar to these kind of water bubbles. Vedana bubbulupama. So, Buddha therefore mentions, when one do the Vedana anupassana, when one experiences various types of feelings, so this is the sort of perception he may be developing. This is the sort of understanding he may be developing, because all these different types of feelings, at many different occasions they are arising. You can't actually have any sort of much of a control that which type of feeling going to be available. You may be expecting a pleasurable feeling, but painful feeling may be arising. You may be expecting a painful feeling to pass away, but it doesn't pass away. It remains for a long time. You may be experiencing a pleasurable feeling and you want to keep it more, but it may quickly pass away. So likewise, you may understand you have no much control over these feelings. And again, these feelings, once you are closely examining them, you may understand they are not just a single feeling. It's a combination of so many minute feelings. It's a group of feelings. And if you carefully see the behavior of this each minute feeling, so it is like that a water bubble. So it quickly arises and quickly bursts, quickly passes away. So each minute feeling is very much like that water bubbles arising because of rains happening in an autumn. So therefore Buddha says it is void, it is empty, there is nothing substantial in this feeling aggregate. And similarly, Buddha mentioned about the perception aggregate. Now you know when there is, during the hot season, and maybe during the noon, and heated air actually caused to generate sort of a shimmering mirage. So it may be appear in the very far, but because of this heated air, it generates some sort of a shimmering effect, and it is the mirage. There is no water there. There is nothing substantial there. It is simply a kind of an empty, hollow thing. But from here, it appear like kind of a reservoir, kind of a water. So similarly, Buddha mentions all these perceptions are like that. All these signs, marks are very much like a mirage. So it appear like water. It appear like something substantial. It appear like something important. But ultimately, once you do a proper examination, proper investigation, so there is nothing there. That is empty. It is hollow. It is insubstantial. So more you understand the proper properly about these perceptions, these signs, sanya. So that is the sort of understanding, insight, which is developing in our mind, in one's mind, the yogi's mind. So there he becomes not that interested about these signs. Previously, assume that you are so concerned about all these perceptions, so concerned about various labels. If someone doesn't use the proper designation, so you get angry. If it doesn't give you much respect, you get angry. If you are not recognized, you get angry. So likewise, there are so much of perceptions there, but more you properly investigate this perception aggregate, so you understand they are simply labels. They are simply marks, they are simply signs, they are simply perceptions of the mind. And therefore you consider them now as empty, they are hollow, they are insubstantial. Now you have less attachment to them, you grasp them less, and you have a detached attitude towards them, you have some sort of dispassion towards them. So this is the result of proper practice which you do onto the perception aggregate. And when it comes to the formations aggregate, so there are Buddha mentions that a man was in search of a heartwood, and he is going to maybe a forest or any other place, and assume that he come across a banana trunk, banana tree. So he cuts the root and he cuts the leaves, and now he has the banana trunk. Now Buddha says he do some sort of a peeling, and he unrolls the coils, and he remove one coil after the other, and ultimately he can't get any heartwood because it's a banana tree, it's a banana trunk. You know, in the banana trunk there is no heartwood. It's all the kind of layers are there, though it appear to the outside like a straight, very rigid kind of a tree, but once you come closer to it and you do the cutting of the trunk, and if you see it properly, if you properly analyze it, you will understand that it is quite empty. There is no heartwood and nothing substantial there. So therefore Buddha mentions this formations aggregate is like that. So once it is developed, it appear like something. It appear like some rigid something. It appear like something solid, something substantial. But once you understand how you weaved it, how you fabricated it, how you sort of constructed it, by adding little parts, adding small pieces together, ultimately it appear like something. Ultimately it appear like something substantial. But more you precisely analyze it, more you precisely investigate it, there is nothing there. There is no hard core. There is no hard wood. There is no, any core in it. So it is insubstantial, it is empty, it is hollow. So more you understand like this to all the formations, then you don't care much about them. You have some sort of dispassion towards them. You don't give much value to them. You don't consider them as yours. So you have a sort of a dispassion towards these various formations. Similarly, Buddha mentioned about the consciousness aggregate. He considered it as an illusion. Kind of a magician at a particular place. He shows various magics. But you know, magic is a magic. It is a kind of a illusion. So he is deceiving the others. There is nothing substantial, nothing real with him. But he know how to twist it. He know how to cheat. So the whole consciousness aggregate, Buddha mentioned, is like an illusion. Like a magical illusion. So in this magical illusion, there is no core. So it is sort of a void. It is hollow. It is nothing substantial there. So when someone is properly investigating, properly ponders about it, when carefully analyzing the consciousness aggregate, so that is what one will understand. So it's a kind of a reflection. It's a kind of a illusion, hallucination. And that is the consciousness aggregate. So by giving these very beautiful, very powerful similes in the Penapindupama Sutta, so Buddha comes up with very profound teaching into the aggregates. And I like to wind up here today, but I hope to continue this aggregates on next week as well, because it's a very important and very profound teaching of the Buddha. And as I said, it helps us to understand what is really going on right now, what is really going on in our mind, what is the experience we are going on, how we can properly understand the experience. And that way we are able to properly see the reality and to be free from all these experiences and have a sort of a free mind, freedom of all these aggregates. And while keeping some provision to continue this, say, sutta teaching to next week, I'll wind up for today. And I open the session for questions.
So everyone, due to just security reasons, we have disabled the chat function with other participants, but you should be able to still send your questions to just the host using the chat feature. So that's one way you may ask questions, or the other way is to raise your hand. We have one right now with Pri's phone, and then we will allow you to unmute your phone. So Pri, I will please unmute your phone, see if you can do it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
තෙරුවන් සරණයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ.
තෙරුවන් සරණයි.
ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ, when I do meditation, sitting meditation, normally I go to a place where, a state where I feel only energy, just changing energy only. And I was doing it, I was kind of trapped there, didn't know how to go. How to go beyond, and I got the advice from you, and you asked me to practice, keep on practicing. And when I was practicing today, I got to a place where I could not feel anything. There's no energy, nothing. It was like I was awake. I'm sitting. But I don't feel any sensation at all, not even energy. And but I felt like cooling, very comfortable sensation around the body. But I could not recognize where I feel it, because I could not feel the body or sensations or anything. And but my mind, at the same time, my mind was watching. It's watching to catch any sensations, to see whether anything coming out. And I was there maybe around 5 minutes. But then I felt sleepy because I didn't know what to do. So I greatly appreciate if you could advise me to go further.
Yeah. Could you explain a little bit about your walking meditation as well?
Yes, walking meditation, I got advice from you again. While I was doing walking meditation, I could go to a place where I couldn't, it's not sensation, it's becoming, I couldn't recognize them clearly as before. I could continue it without disturbing by my thoughts or anything. And while I was doing that, I came to a place where I could not separate them. It's like all together as an image of a photo, whatever, it's not there. And I know I was walking, but it is... it is kind of boring thing. It's
right.
No clarity there.
Good. Right. I got it.
Now, basically, this is not something bad, by the way. So that is what we need to understand. So now, at the beginning, we are clearly recognizing various sensations, various, say, element characteristics. So you understand this is hardness, this is softness, this is these are vibrations. So likewise, you can understand all these subtle details very clearly. But as you are continuing your practice, so you are coming to a region, so you understand, okay, they have the nature to arise, they have the nature to pass away, they are very fragile, they are very transient. So likewise, you get that sort of insight and you are continuing your practice. So as you continue this practice, so then you are coming to a stage, now everything become like blurred. Everything become like a flux. So that you can't now really recognize, distinguish whether this is hardness, whether this is softness, whether this is heat, whether this is cold, whether this is vibration. So everything appear like a flux. Now it is quite boring. It is because this precise information, the clarity, or the various names, various tastes, various colors, various different behaviors. This is how we are experiencing some sort of a happiness. We are experiencing some sort of a pleasure. But now everything appear like a flux. Everything appear like blurred. Everything appear like, you know, kind of a washed away artwork. Assume there's a watercolor artwork and you are putting some water, and it appear very beautiful. There are beautiful girls, there are beautiful boys and flowers and all these vehicles and very clearly available. You can clearly recognize them. Assume due to some reason, you are putting some water to it, sprinkling some water. Now all the colors are mixed up with everywhere. Now you can't clearly recognize what is the car, what is the girl, what is the boy, where are the flowers, and everything appear like a flux. Everything appear blurred. Everything appear mixed. Now looking at it is boring. There is no interest in it. So similarly, as we are walking, so this experience happened. So this is an improvement in our practice. So this is what we call as dispassion. This is what we call as nibbida. You get some sort of disenchantment. You are not much interested about it. Because what is available is not something substantial, not something beautiful, but it's something faded away, something blurred. So similar experience similar experience may be available in the sitting. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, no, today it was, there's no plug, mm-hmm. just nothing. It was just like empty.
Correct.
There's nothing.
Right. So that's right. Once you are going through it, now mind slowly become dispassionate towards it and ultimately it completely relinquish it. Now, first we couldn't do that. It actually grasped it and it gives various names, labels, and we attach it. But later, as we do the proper analysis, we do proper understanding, we investigating the experience. As a result, it appear blurred, it appear faded away, it appear like a flux. Now mind starts to detach from it. And ultimately, there may be spots where our mind becomes completely relinquished that. So at that time, it appears like blank. It appears like that you stop everything. You become stuck. Your mind has nothing. So in the sitting also, your mind has nothing. So you are going through this cycle, and at certain region, at a certain level, so mind completely becomes stuck. It has nothing to hold. Like say you go through Windows application, so Microsoft Windows, and sometimes the whole system stuck, so you can't move, your mouse doesn't work, and the keyboard doesn't work, so the whole system stuck. So similarly, our mind stopped. So there's nothing to hold. There is anything substantial to recognize. There are no perceptions, there are no signs. So mind become empty. So this is kind of a new experience that you may be getting. So that you need to
again and again realize. So again and again you come to this stage. You don't need to be afraid of it. Again and again you develop the same procedure that you are doing. And again you are experiencing this new experience, new state. And don't be afraid. And once you are there, just be. Don't do anything. Don't get afraid of it.
Okay.
Don't have any doubt on it. Once you are doing the proper practice and you are going through that kind of a flux energy, and ultimately mind relinquish it. And once the mind relinquish it, you have nothing. Mind is empty. Mind is complete, spacious. Mind has no signs. Mind has no perceptions. Mind has no objects to recognize. So just be. So there, don't be afraid, just be.
Yeah.
And then for the next question, I'd like to invite Indira. Okay, can you unmute now? Unmute now.
Oh. We are watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement that the politician made.
Mm.
And without knowing, we get angry, we get frustrated, we think, why have we sent him to, you know, the parliament? And, you know, we just fabricate things. Can you put it in these five aggregates and explain it once?
Sure, sure. Very interesting. Yeah. So we do a lot of improvements to these aggregates, actually. So we start with something simple. And we do a lot of fabrications, we do a lot of formations, and we are adding, constructing aggregates. Now say for example, now we are watching the TV, watching the news. And the intention was to watch the news. So that is the formations aggregate. And your eyes are being used, your ears are being used, and the sounds and the sights are there. So they are the form aggregate, rupakkhanda. And again, now you can recognize various figures, various, say, names. And this is him, this is that politician, this is that politician, these are the words. So you can clearly recognize what these words are meant. So all these are the perceptions aggregate. And once you hear them, once you recognize them, you don't just stop there. You do add your own coloring. You are adding your own perceptions to it. You are adding your likes and dislikes. Why he is telling like this? Why he is telling like that? So he should be in this way. He should be in that way. This should be the correct way. So you are now adding your own pieces and components to this whole story. And now you are getting maybe angry and unsatisfied, agitated. All these are fabrications. All these are the fabrications aggregate. All these are the formations aggregate. These are the sankhara khanda. And the very recognition of the sound, just the recognition of the sights, so that cognizing part, that is the consciousness aggregate. So we may be continuing this. I mean, again and again we continue. So these aggregates are now accumulating. More and more it's getting accumulated, and certain aggregates become much developed. As you mentioned, the formations aggregate, it becomes more and more prominent. So therefore, all the five aggregates are available in each experience, but one or two of them can become more prominent. Hope you understand.
That means like I have taken it very subjectively.
Exactly, exactly.
So what I need to do is to say it is only a perception or something. I mean, it shouldn't affect me. No, I shouldn't form more sankhara on that.
That's right. So that is what happens in the as you develop vipassana. So when you see it, so it is simply a sight. When you hear something, it's a simply a hearing sound. When you taste, when you smell, when you feel, so all are merely sort of that corresponding forms, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations and mental objects. And we get the ability to stop there. දිත්තේ දිත්තමත්තම් භවිස්සති සුතේ සුතමත්තම් භවිස්සති මුතේ මුතමත්තම් භවිස්සති විඤ්ඤාතේ විඤ්ඤාතමත්තම් භවිස්සති so we have the capacity to stop there so we are now not adding aggregates we are not fabricating aggregates so we are not putting our own colors to them we are not weaving thoughts onto them we are not making any story onto them so we are able to maintain sort of a silent mind no agitation there is no inner chatter there is no thinking there is no storytelling so simply watching simple hearing simple tasting simple going through of some experience but mind is silent so your inner nature become calm so you are able to watch it but you are able to maintain unagitated mind so it is not easy by the way because all these sights sounds etc are stimulating the mind stimulating our say inner tendencies so as a result we start to think as a result we start to make a story as a result we become agitated then we suffer so we need to understand how we do this stupid thing how we do this foolish activity again and again how we do sort of fabrication by ourselves sounds are sounds sights are sights so why we do this addition why we do this construction why we do this fabrication so if we are able to stop that at early levels at early stages then we can unentangle the mind we can cleanse the mind we can stop the mind we can clear the mind again we are back in that calmness again we are back in the clarity
my son, a lot of clarity.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And for the next question, Chitra Devi, you may now unmute.
Thank you. Bhante, the way I practice and I just like you to let me know whether that's the way I should be doing it is that what you explained about the five aggregates, I mean, in daily life also we can observe this six sense bases and watch everything that is coming through and analyze it the way you explain. But for me, I feel that experiencing it when I'm meditating or listening to a really deep Dhamma talk or whatever it is, I can experience this whole thing in the body, you know, the lightness, the no core, no substance, and the rising and passing away of the breath, which is impermanent. So I can experience that better, the feelings also, because they come and go. So I feel that that is better for me. I don't know, can you explain to me whether that is the correct way to go? Thank you.
Yeah, actually, when we are dealing with Kayanupassana, we are not much worried about the other aspects. So the perceptions, fabrications, say how mind operates, because we are still not into that level. We are not into that region, to that domain, but we do more emphasis onto the Kayanupassana, onto the form aggregate. No harm, because form aggregate itself, Kayanupassana itself has a very high potential to give us a lot of insights, to give us a lot of understanding. Because if they are appearing and it gives us a lot of understanding, so that's why each section of Satipatthana are very powerful, are very potential, has very potential, big, high potential to give us a lot of insights, to make us get into high understanding. So therefore, you don't need to worry about while you do Kayanupassana, you don't need to much worry about what would be the feeling, what would be the perception, what would be the fabrications and all these things. Similarly, suppose you are doing Vedanupassana, you are observing very carefully on various feelings. So there you don't need to worry about, okay, what are the formations, what are the perceptions, what are the, say, consciousness, you don't need to worry. Then if you have those kind of a perplexity, then you can't do proper analysis or proper investigations onto feelings. So when you do proper investigation onto feelings, you know only feelings. So that is how you are fully concentrated on it. You are fully in it. You are fully closely observing what is really going on into this feeling aggregate. Now suppose you are carefully observing the mind. Now various thoughts are appearing, various signs are appearing. Now you are observing them. At the same time, you may be breathing, you may rising and falling may happen, but you are not careful about it now. You simply ignore them. You give more prominence to the mental activity. So likewise, all these things are happening, all these things are available, but time to time we give much prominence to different aggregates. So therefore, so once you give such prominence to different aggregates and you are continuing your practice, so that is correct, no problem. And it doesn't block you on switching to something else. But I mean, suppose if you have a familiarity of all the anupassana, kanupassana, vedanupassana, chittanupassana, dhammanupassana, even during a single session, you may be traversing towards all the sections. Maybe assume that you start with kanupassana. After a while, slowly you are now in the vedanupassana. Now you are slowly moving to the chittanupassana. So likewise, it's a kind of a smooth transition can happen. No problem at all.
But we can do this also during, we can analyze it. We don't experience it so much, but we can analyze it while we are eating or just sitting and doing something. We can also do this whole process, can't we?
Can, of course, can do. But the thing is, it is not merely kind of a thinking process. Typically when we call off the term analysis, so you do some mental analysis. So that is also a little included here. But important thing is, once you clearly recognize these components, at that time you need to experience it. At that time you need to investigate what is really happening to them. Say for example, you now understand, okay, now I am asking a question. Okay, now I can listen to various words. Now I can listen to sound. Now I am giving various interpretations to all these sounds. So I now have a, say, equanimous feeling. And likewise, you can do the proper understanding about your current experience. Now assume that you are doing satipatthana onto that, and assume that you are keeping on eye onto your feelings. Now you are, I mean, not much giving attention to the other aggregates, but you are carefully investigating the feeling right now, at this very moment. So likewise, the initial analysis, initial sort of division, you may do little analytically, but later once you clearly recognize, okay, this is this component, okay, that is that component, this is this component. So likewise, once you are clearly divided into pieces, then whatever the interesting piece, now you can properly investigate what is happening right now, at this very moment.
But they all, feelings, perceptions and consciousness, it all happens at the same time, almost the very same time. No?
Exactly, okay? Yes, exactly.
So, it's not, you can't really break it up, I suppose. I mean, you can theoretically, but practically, I think it all happens the same time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they all happen at the same time, but to which are we giving more attention?
Yes. I give more attention to the kayanupassana, vedanupassana, because the feelings come and go and you can really analyze that very beautifully because you can feel it so well, for
right.
me at least.
Right.
And even the breath, you know, even though it's so fine and so minute, you still can see those particles. So for me, I stick to those two, but I do go to the dhammanupassana as well because that's part, you know, you have to then, you know, come to analyze the Buddha's teaching. So I do it like that, Bhante.
Yeah, I mean, no problem. Actually, dhammanupassana is not about Buddha's teaching. That is,
well, it's about the analysis, right?
Yeah.
Well, that is the analysis,
yeah.
Right?
So basically, you are seeing those in your mind.
Yes.
So
yes.
You are
experiencing.
Exactly. You are experiencing. Yes. You know, when there are angry thoughts available in the mind, so you recognize it. You understand how they arise and how they pass away. So you are you are observing those phenomena in your own mind, in your own body, right now, at this very moment. So therefore the whole Satipatthana has given more prominence to the present moment and your own experience. So it is not someone else's experience, but rather it is your own experience being understood. And even when someone else is going through some sort of an experience, now you have a even kind of a, kind of a knowledge, inferential knowledge of what he is going on or what she is going on, because you already have gone through such experience before and you have properly observed it, properly investigated it, and you know the quality of the mind, you know how the body was like while you are going through that experience. And similarly, you can, when someone else is going through such experience, you can inferentially feel it, you can inferentially understand about it.
That is the internal and external, that's what
exactly,
the says, right?
Exactly. Ajjat iti ajjatam vaka vihirati iti bahidda vaka pasi vihirati. Yes, yes.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it seems we all have only that question. So there seems to be no other question. So if there is no...
Yes, that's correct, Bhante.
Yeah. So if there is no any other question, I like to wind up the session today. So we'll share merits and we'll wind up the session. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mam param. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.